This is KNBA News. I'm Jocelyn Estes. Residents of a nursing home in Kotzebue now have muskox and other traditional native foods on the menu. It's part of a program under a new federal law that allows donated food to be served at nursing homes, child nutrition programs, and other public and nonprofit facilities, including those run by Indian tribes and tribal groups. Bethel school officials say they would prefer cash donations rather than school supplies as they work to rebuild following a fire. KYUK Radio in Bethel reports the district is having difficulty storing donated materials after the November 3rd fire, which damaged a Yupik Immersion School and the Kuskokwim Learning Academy. By talking about boarding school experiences, Tlingit elders in Juneau are turning painful memories into sources of healing, healing for themselves and generations still living with the consequences. As Lisa Fu reports, the nonprofit arm of the local Urban Native Corporation is using those stories to create a K-12 curriculum that will focus on the impacts of colonization on the Tlingit people.
Before telling her story, Della Cheney from Cake sings a spirit song for all the families who were part of the boarding school era. Cheney is on a panel of 13 Tlingit elders during the recent Clan conference in Juneau. Since August, they've been meeting once a month with other elders at Gold Belt Heritage Foundation.
We're helping to write down the story of how boarding schools are affecting us and our families today, so that our children and grandchildren will know the history and realize the changes our families, our people faced.
From the late 1800s to the mid-1900s, the federal government split families and forced Native children into boarding schools to assimilate. Cheney says many were also raised in orphanages.
That time is still walking with us today. The people who were raised with no love or affection in a very hostile environment also raised their children without much nurturing or affection. So today, we see some of our families suffering from abuse.
Cheney says both her parents attended Sheldon Jackson School in Sitka. Her mother was only 10 when she was brought there in 1923.
It just breaks my heart to think that I was raised in such a loving family, to know that my mother and father weren't.
But Cheney says those who went to boarding schools persevered. In Cake, they fought to make the village a first-class city in 1951, allowing the community to operate its own school system. Emma Shorty is from Tesling, Yukon. She was 4 when she was taken away from her family in 1937 to go to a residential school in Carcross.
We were never allowed to go anywhere. We had to stay in the one yard. They put a fence around the school. They used to lock the fence. And when we went to bed, they would lock our doors. And there was no bathrooms to go to. So we got into trouble for wetting our beds.
Shorty says she was molested at the school.
I learned to forgive. I wasn't always kind. Residential school just about killed my spirit. Today, I've forgiven.
Shorty fought hard to have her first daughter go to public school, even though she was turned away again and again for being Tlingit. John Martin went to boarding school in Eklutna, and then to the St. Pius X mission in Skagway.
But instead of Christianity, there were some ugly things that went on, and I'm not going to speak about that.
Martin says many of the elders are still hurt.
By putting us in boarding schools, it was a form of prison. They disrupted our learning process of the language. They actually took a way of life from us when our elders were teaching us how to gather food.
Martin says telling the stories from that time and identifying the hurt is the beginning of healing. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
This is KNBA News. I'm Jocelyn Estes.